Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisheshi Shunyavari Paschata Desatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. I'll have to learn that verse just for visiting Vrindavan. Nice verse, Raghunath Das Goswami. Because I want to speak a little bit about, further, about Ter Kadamba, the significance of that place, transcendental significance. Besides the place where Rupa Goswami wrote Nectar of Devotion and performed wonderful bhajan, is a place of Krishna's pastimes with the cows and cowherd boys, and it's a place of pastime of Radha and Krishna. We climbed up the hill of Nandagram and visited the place where Krishna's childhood pastimes, well, part of his childhood pastimes were performed. For 3 years and 8 months, Krishna, with Nanda and Jasoda, lived in Gokul. And then too many demons, so they left. And they moved to the other side, or this side, of the Jamuna River. What's the place? Chatikar Road. For another 3 years, 8 months, approximate. And then Nanda and Jasoda shifted back here, to this area, Nandagram. So, this is the place of those, that age of Krishna's childhood pastimes. And certainly by that age, even before, but by that age, one of his main activities was his leela of protecting the cows, Gopal. Krishna didn't just protect cows. You know, carry a little stick and whack the backside of the cow and tell the cow, go this way and go that way and stop and so on. He loved the cows. And the cows loved him. There's one description. When Krishna began herding the cows, it was an occasion for a big festival, practically at the drop of a hat. Anything related to Krishna is an opportunity for having a big festival. So Mother Jasoda had a big festival when Krishna began herding the calves. And there's an elaborate description of the big festival. The first day Krishna was going to herd cows, and the residents of Braja came, like we heard Dinabandhu describing. Everybody loves Krishna. It's not just, you know, Radharani loves Krishna. And they carve their names in a tree. Radha loves Krishna. Everyone loved Krishna. And when Krishna would do anything, it would be like, you know, the center of their lives. They loved Krishna more than their own child. The parents. The cows loved Krishna more than their own calves. The birds loved Krishna more than their own mates. Everyone loved Krishna more than anything. So when it was time for Krishna to herd the cows, there's a detailed description of this wonderful festival that was held. And this person brought this gift, that person brought that gift. And it looks like, one of the things it is, it's a loving exchange, because Rupa Goswami teaches us one of the types of loving exchanges, offering gifts and receiving gifts. So they would come and offer some gift to Krishna. But he's the personality of Godhead, so it was Shuddha Bhakti. And Krishna gave them the gift of love of God. From whatever the little, the simplest little gift. Just like when Krishna, a little toddler, saw a fruit vendor. So he went to get some fruits for Mother Jasoda, and he was carrying in his little child fingers a palm full of rice. And as he was toddling along, the rice was slipping through the fingers onto the ground. But his sweet, charming smile and beautiful lotus eyes was so enchanting to the fruit vendor. She said, take whatever you like. Doesn't matter what you give in exchange. Take it all. And as Krishna began piling up so many things, she was so charmed with the beauty of Krishna, she didn't notice that as those fruits were being emptied from her basket, the basket was being filled with jewels. Out of reciprocation of her genuine offering of love for Krishna. So the residents of Braja, they came and brought so many nice gifts for Krishna. A little belt to put his bugle in, and his buffalo horn. A little turban to wear on his head. Some special chadar in case it got a little chilly during the day. This gift, that gift, just for Krishna to herd cows. And Mother Jasoda, you know what gift she brought for Krishna? I'll tell you. One of those nice pair of shoes like we see now in Rajasthan that curls up at the end. Ooh. You've seen those? And it was studded with jewels. And she gave them to Krishna and said, my darling son, please wear these whenever you go out to herd the cows, the calves, because your little delicate feet might get hurt with the rocks and pebbles and thorns. So Krishna said to his mother, I can't accept these shoes. My cows don't have shoes. And Mother Jasoda said, but cows already have shoes. Nature has given them shoes, so their feet are very strong. They don't need shoes. Krishna said, I'm not going to wear shoes unless you get for each of the cows of Nanda Maharaj the same pair of shoes. And once you have shoes for every one of them, then I'll wear shoes too. Doesn't say what happened after that. But Krishna loved the cows. And each of the residents of Vrindavan, their opportunity to associate with Krishna was such a delight. So the cows and the cowherd boys, they had it made. They were with Krishna all day long. Krishna's flute, too. Krishna's flute is mentioned. Everything is conscious. So even Krishna's flute is conscious. The gopis would sometimes complain, sometimes marvel, sometimes chastise the flute of Krishna. How much pious activities must have undergone that you're tasting the nectar of Krishna's lips all day long. How fortunate are you? And sometimes they chastise the flute. This is very wrong. Flutes are male. And we're female. Male shouldn't be touching the lips of another male. What is this? This is wrong. Krishna's lips are meant for us. Sometimes they would steal Krishna's flute, make various plans to steal Krishna's flute, distract his attention. And when Krishna's flute was gone, Krishna was beside himself with anxiety. But the cows have very special love for Krishna. At the bottom of the hill of Nandagram, where we were, is where Nanda Maharaj kept his goshal, the shed for taking care of the cows when they came back from the cowherd field. So Terakadamba is in the direction, they would pass by Terakadamba almost every day. And Krishna would climb up the Kadamba tree and call each of the 900,000 cows by name, one by one. You know some of the names of the cows? Oh, Davali, right?
Davali, there's four groups of cows. White cows, red cows, golden cows, and black cows. The white ones, Davali, Chandrika, Chandini, Sweta. Then the yellow cows are Pili, Pitambari, Pingala, and Ganga. Then the black cows is Shamangi, Shamala, Krishangi, and Jamuna, because Jamuna is black. Ganga's golden color, Jamuna is black. Kalindi. And red cows is Kumkumi, and Lali, and Saraswati. Saraswati river is red. So Saraswati, and Sinduri, like that. Then there's cow that I still want to see, Mridangamukhi. Feel like a Mridanga. Singamukhi. Face like a lion. Still I haven't seen this cow yet. Singamukhi. Then with Tilak. Tilakini. With Tilak. And then there was Chandan color cows. Chandani. Like that. That's like the names. Simple.
So imagine you're a cow, and you're having, how would you say, cow love for Krishna. Intense loving feeling for Krishna. And you knew at the end of the day, Krishna would call your name. Just like, you know, supposing we're in an assembly here and somebody's name in the assembly, I call out somebody's name and they think, oh, what to speak of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, waiting for Krishna to call your name, and Krishna calls your name. What is that going to do to the heart of the cow that hears Krishna call your name? So their ears would perk up and their tail would raise and they'd dance coming toward Krishna. Because Krishna wanted to make sure that all the cows were counted. We keep our little counter beads for 16 rounds. Krishna had long counter beads for keeping track of his 900,000 cows. And if one cow was missing, Krishna would go find that cow. Because although there's so many cows, it's not that, oh, there's so many cows, what's one cow? Each cow was very dear to Krishna, and Krishna was very dear to each of the cows. So he would assemble the cows, or count the cows, or call the cows from that Kadamba grove, that area. And I can only imagine that at one time the Kadamba grove was larger because so many things here, people cut down trees like, you know, whatever, for convenience. But the Kanumba trees in a grove were there for the pleasure of Krishna only. And to this day, in that area, the Kanumba trees are remaining. And there are leelas where also Radha and Krishna would meet. I mentioned Sanket was a standard rendezvous place that I'm sure Vrinda Devi had some part in arranging. Because I wasn't there for your morning class, but I'm sure you heard how Vrinda Devi coordinates all of Krishna's pastimes. So wherever they're going to meet, whatever the program is for the day, she's got the plan. She's the quarterback. She calls the play and makes all the arrangements for everything to be just right for Radha and Krishna's meeting with one another. And walking from Nandagram to Yavat, you have to pass Terkadamba. Or walking from Yavat to Nandagram, you have to pass Terkadamba. So Rupa Goswami made that one of his principal places of bhajan, where he could meditate upon the meeting of Radha and Krishna in so many wonderful leelas. And right from Terkadamba, if those of you that have, I wish we could go there, maybe Krishna will make an arrangement. We will be able to go there this time. But just being there, you feel something. I feel something. And I like to feel something like I feel when I go to Terkadamba. I was really looking forward to it. But it's the transcendental mood of Terkadamba. Even if you're a stone, you melt. It's so wonderful to sit there and have kirtan or have katha or chant japa or just to be there. It's so special. Very, very special place. Terkadamba. I'll do this because we cannot go there, probably won't go there. I have a picture of the Krishna Balaram deities at Terkadamba, and I'll send it out to our yatra coordinators and they can email it to you when you get back to your destination. You'll have waiting for you a picture of Krishna Balaram at Terkadamba. And I'll send you this verse that Dinabandhu was quoting that's just above the altar. Rupa Goswami's, the prayer of Raghunath Das Goswami to Rupa Goswami. It's for meditation purposes. From Terkadamba, you go outside the grove and there's a pasture ground or an agricultural field, and then a little road, and on the other side of a road, there's a temple of Lord Shiva. I'll say a little something and ask Dinabandhu to say a little more and describe something of Yavat, and we'll call it a day. There is a temple of Lord Shiva, and the little that I know about that temple of Lord Shiva is it's a place that offered prayers to have a child. Is that correct? You never heard that one? Okay. You did. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I have that mixed up with another place. So, could you describe something of Yavat?
No, Yavat.
Okay. Describe something of Yavat. Some, you know, Krishna going.
All right.
Okay.
Actually, that's one of my favorite prickers when we go to Javat. then the temple's way on top of the hill. Then instead of going by bus to Tirkadam, we go down through the village. By the time we get to the edge of town, I have enough rotis to feed everybody. Even if you're 350, I will get one Bishwasi roti for all of you. Nice, thick ones. So, then we take the same road that Radharani used to take to go to Nandagam to cook for Krishna. And then she comes back by the same road. And as Maharaj explained, Tirkadam comes on the way and Krishna's there with his cows. So Radharani and all the Sakis are coming back from Nandagam going to Javat. And they pass through Tirkadam and they see Krishna's there. So Radharani, she puts her finger in her pearl necklace. All pearls are running all over the ground. Because they're thinking how they can, they want to just stay for a few minutes there in Krishna's association. So Radharani, she breaks her pearl necklace and pearls are scattered. So all the Sakis are, they're picking at pearls, but they're having a hard time picking them up because they're not looking where they're picking. They're and the pearls are so shiny. Actually, Radharani, she's actually picking up the pearls, but she's seeing Krishna's reflection in each pearl as she picks them up, you know, just so they can spend a little time there. They're all picking up pearls, but Radharani's watching the reflection of Krishna in all the pearls as she picks them up. Then Maharaj was describing about the flute and the gopis. We know in that one, in Venu Geet, the gopis, they criticize. You're just a small bamboo pole. What did you do? What austerities have you done? To get the nectar of Krishna's lips. What have you done? You're just a simple bamboo pole. So, Surdas, he has a very beautiful verse where he gives the flute's answer. I don't know the Hindi for it, but anyway, I know the translation. The Surdas is singing, taking the part of the flute. So he tells the gopis, you want to know what austerities I did? He said, first of all, I was separated from my family from the very beginning of my birth. And I went on the bank of the river, and I stood on one foot for many, many years. And then I didn't even take any food or water except through that foot even. I didn't eat in a normal way. I stuck just from my foot, I drank water, that's all. For many, many years. Then even that foot, somebody came and cut that foot off. And then they stuck me in the hot sun so that I would dry completely. Then they took a red hot poker and they burned all these holes in my whole body. You want to know what austerities I did? You want to get Krishna nectar of Krishna's lips always? You ready to do that? This is Surdas's answer to the gopi's criticism. Then I'm just trying to pick up some of the little crumbs that have fallen from Maharaj's plate and relish them a little more. What other thing you were talking? Oh, the cows. Actually, Krishna doesn't have a big long japa mala. There's only 108, but it's made of jewels. Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur says 108 jewels. Because I described that there's four groups of cows. But each of those four groups is divided into 25. So that means how many? 100. Then I described there's 8 special groups, you know, speckled cows, chandan-colored cows, and Mridangamukhi, and Singhamukhi, and Tilak, and one with stars, and, yeah, I can't remember, there's 8 special groups. So Krishna touches the nose of each of those leaders. Now he counts one bead. So that's 108 special groups, 108. So when they all come, then he touches their nose. Then if somebody's missing, then he climbs back up in the tree. Then he calls that cow by name. Now all the cows heard Krishna's flute. All the cows know they're supposed to come. But they also know one thing. That if they don't come, Krishna will climb the tree and call us by our own name from his own lotus mouth. Can you imagine? Krishna calling you by name by his own lotus mouth. Oh, Ratidas! Siki Pichadari! Who else do we meet? Sudevi! Dharmender! Was it Nandagopal? Who else to be? Amshi? Something like that? Amshi we met today? Amshi. You imagine Krishna by his own voice calling your name? So they know that. They know they're supposed to come. They heard Krishna play the flute. They know they're supposed to come. But they don't. They know one thing. If they don't come, Krishna will call them by name. So they're waiting. As soon as they hear their name, then ordinarily you see the cow's ears is hanging down like this. Then their ears just go up like this. Just like pitchers, you know, to catch all of that nectar. But when it's full of nectar of Krishna's voice, it doesn't overflow out the top. It overflows here. Their ears are up like this, but it doesn't overflow there. It's overflowing from the eyes like this. And when they heard Krishna call them by name, then they just go, and they start running with their legs stretched forward and backward and together and like this. And their big fat milk bag is going ka-choom, 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 ka-choom. And they come running to Krishna. Oh. In Tirkadam, just in front of that nice little kunj where we sit, there's a samadhi of the last pujari there, Krishna Gopal. He stayed there for 47 years doing bhajan in this place. We have a hard time just to find a pujari to stay for 47 days. You can ask our GBC what difficulty. 47 years of doing bhajan there. But he told me, because you'll see, his is the latest, but there's a whole bunch, and then down the way there's one that is Bhagwat Das Babaji Maharaj. Bhagwat Das Babaji, he was doing bhajan there in Tirkadam and taking care of the place for many, 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 many years, till he was about almost 80, more than 80 years old. And one day, and Bhagwat Das Baba, he used to, because now, of course, our friend Rishikesh Maharaj was there. He's planted so many beautiful Kadamba trees. They're starting to grow. But anyway, it used to be, as Maharaj described, beautiful grove of Kadamba trees were there. So Bhagwat Das, in the season, he would make garlands for the deities. That was his service. He would make garlands and bring them up to the temple to Krishna Balaram. Make them. So he did this till he was almost 80 years old. More than 80 years old, rather. Then one day he was thinking, my goodness, I've been doing bhajan here for so many, many, many years. I never even in my dhyan, I never saw, you know, a little spark of Krishna in my heart. I didn't get anything. I've been here for so many, many years. I didn't get anything out of my bhajan. He said, I'm going to go to Barsana. Radharani's more merciful. He said, now at the end of my life, I'm going to Barsana. Radharani's more merciful. See, he packed up all his things. Not like you with two big Samsonite suitcases. Lota or kambal, sadhu ka sambal. Just says lota and blanket. And he started walking toward Barsana. And one little cowboy was there and said, Baba, Baba, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Barsana. Radharani's more merciful. But Baba, Baba, who's going to make the garlands for us? And he looked back and he saw these two cowboys. They were wearing the garland that he made yesterday. He thought, oh, these boys, the pujaris throw the garlands out and they pick them up. He said, I don't know who's making the garlands. I'm going to Barsana. Somebody will make them. And again, the voice said, Baba, Baba, who's going to make the garlands for us? He said, I don't know. And he turned around and he saw Sakshat Krishna and Balaram standing there wearing the garlands that he made the day before. Then he just fell on the road and started shaking and shaking and shaking and tears coming from his eyes. In the village, everybody got worried. Bhagavad Das Baba didn't come for Madhukari today. We described how that everybody goes, Radhisham Madhukari. So they sent one village boy, go find out, maybe Baba's sick or something. What happened? He didn't come today. So the boy, he came, he saw Bhagavad Das just lying on the road, shivering and shivering. He said, Baba, Baba, what happened? And he told the little boy what happened. And Hare Krishna, he entered into the pastimes, eternal pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. Hare Krishna. So what time it is? 5 after. All right, I think we better stop here. I'll tell my favorite one. Let's see. This takes a little while. One time, I'm going to give the translators a hard time. One time, Jatila was talking with Kutila. Now we described before Durvasa Muni, you know, this, all this hair twisted and turned on top of his head, that's called Jata. So now you can understand Jatila. Her brain is like that. And Kutila, who means crooked, you know, Kutila, she's also like that. Anyway. So Jatila was saying, everybody in Braj is talking about this scandal of Radha and Krishna. Somehow we have to, you know, our name is getting ruined. We have to stop this somehow or another. He said, I've been thinking, only thing I can think of is Radharani simply can't go out of the house. That's all there is to it. We simply won't let her go out of the house. And Kutila says, but Radharani has to go every day to cook for Krishna. Who ever heard of a married woman going to somebody else's house to cook for them? Huh? It's unheard of. Huh? You know? You just have to go and tell Mother Yasoda that just like she loves her little Lala, we also love our little daughter-in-law. Huh? Anyway, if Mother Yasoda insists on her cooking, then she'll stay here and cook, and we can send it to Nandagam. And Kutila said, Mother Yasoda will die. He said, anyway, I'm resolved. She cannot go out of the house. So anyway, anyhow, Kutila went to Nandagam to talk to Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda, as soon as she heard the request, she fainted. As soon as she came to, she remembering the request, she fainted again. Anyway, she saw that Jatila was determined in her vow. So they, nothing to do, they had to accept it like that. So meanwhile, Radharani, now she's stuck in Javit. It's like a deep, now they're going to give the translators a hard time. It's like a deep, dark, dingy dungeon. I don't think you can translate that one. So, she's just burning in the fire of separation from Krishna. All the color is drained from her face, her eyes are dull, they just stare into space. She's stuck there in Javit with her mother-in-law, Jatila. So suddenly Dhanista appeared and told Lalita, hey Lalita, Radharani has to cook something for Krishna because Mother Rohini cooked today and Lala, he just ate a little bit. He just nibbled. He didn't eat properly. So Mother Yasoda is so worried he's going to get sick. Radharani has to cook something, so eat something. And Lalita pointed at Radharani lying on the bed, staring into outer space. You see the situation? So Dhanista went up and she said into Radharani's ears, hey, your beloved Shyam Sundar is standing right here in front of your very eyes. As soon as Shyam Sundar entered into the ears of Srimati Radhika, she immediately sat up. And then he said, quick, quick, you have to cook something, because Rohini cooked and Krishna just ate a little bit, and Mother Yasoda is so worried. So then Radharani, immediately hearing she gets some service for her beloved, she ran, she tied her sari, and she went into the kitchen. Meanwhile, the two of them were speaking. Pss, 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 pss. So later in the afternoon, suddenly, Lalita goes running into Jatila's room and throws herself on the ground, wailing and wailing, and said, "Oh, the most terrible thing happened, Radharani. There was a snake in the courtyard with a jewel on his head, and Radharani didn't see the snake. She only saw the jewel, and she reached for the jewel, and the snake bit her, and she's going to die!" So Jatila went running to the spot, and she saw Radharani lying practically lifeless in the corner of the courtyard. Jatila says, "Quick, quick, we have to call a snake doctor. We have to call the snake doctor." Because here in Braj, we don't go to the hospital. There's this guy who comes. He chants all these mantras and tantras and things, and somehow or other the person just comes back to life. We saw in the Goshala one time, our electrician, Om Prakash, his wife was bitten by a cobra. You know, and they called this guy, and he put a little copper plate on her belly, and he chanted all these mantras, and after a while, suddenly her eyes just blinked open, and she revived. So Radharani said, "Don't you dare call any man here to touch me. But this emergency, you're going to die. You guys always talking about me and other men. I will not see any male doctor. But this emergency, you're going to die. If you bring any man here, then I will leave my body of my own will. Now what are we going to do?" And Jatila ran out and said, "What are we going to do? Is there any female doctor who knows these mantras?" And somebody said, "Well, Gargi's the niece of Gargacharya. Maybe she knows those mantras." So they all run to Gargi. And Gargi says, "Well, I don't know those mantras, but just by a matter of chance, my cousin's sister, Bidyavali, has come. She was married. She's the daughter of Gargacharya, and she's been married in a very aristocratic family in Benares. And just yesterday she came home to see her father, and today she came here to see me, and she's staying in my house. Maybe she knows those mantras." So they all run to Gargi's house, and there's this beautiful blackish gopi. "Oh, Bidyavali, Bidyavali, Radharani's been bitten by a snake and she's going to die and she won't see any male doctor. Do you know those, did your father ever teach you those mantras?" "Did you say Radharani? Oh my goodness. I have heard about this Radha and this Krishna. And my father, he's married me in a very aristocratic Brahmin family in Benares. And if I got involved in this scandalous thing, then my name would be ruined. If my name is ruined, then my father-in-law won't let me back in the house. And if my father-in-law doesn't let me back in the house, my father won't let me back either. Then where will I be? I couldn't possibly get involved in this." Lalita says, "Oh, Bidyavali, you've been staying there with all those Mayavadis in Benares for so long. Your heart has become hard like a stone. You don't appreciate." You don't appreciate the prayers of the Brijbasis. Well, I guess if you put it like that, I could go. But one thing I've heard, this guy wanders around Braj with his eyes looking here and there at all the young girls. If he so much as looked to me, I would just die. He said, no, we'll surround you. We'll carry a big stick. Like, where did this stick go? We'll carry a big stick. We won't let that guy, we'll surround you. Nobody, he won't come near you. He said, all right, I guess I'll go. So then they bring Bidyavali there with all their big sticks and everybody surrounding her, and they get to Javit. And Bidyavali sees Radharani lying on the bed, practically lifeless. No, sorry, okay. So, first of all, she begins to massage the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika. Then gradually to the ankles, to the calves, to the knees, to the thighs. Finally, she moves up to the heart. And Bidyavali says, the poison has riven to the heart, but it hasn't gotten past, hasn't gone to the brain yet. But this is a very dangerous poison. My father taught me one process. It's a little strange. I hope you don't mind. I will have to chew betel, and then, chanting those mantras, I will transfer that betel from my mouth into the mouth of your daughter-in-law. And Jatila says, well, we're Vaishyas. We always accept prasad from the brahmanas, and anything that will save our daughter, please do it. So Vindhyavali chews betel, and then chanting special mantras that only Cupid knows the meanings of. She puts her mouth over Radharani's mouth and transfers that beetle, and Radharani's eyes begin to flutter a little bit. Then Vindhyavali says, didn't work. This is what I was afraid of. This is a very dangerous snake. This is a very dangerous poison. My father taught me the mantra, but it will take me 3 hours to chant that mantra, and I must have complete silence, concentration. If my concentration breaks, then I have to start the mantra from the beginning, and your daughter-in-law will die. So all of you have to leave this room. Don't even come near the door. I don't want any distraction. Don't even come near the door. You all get out. Then Vindhyavali locks the door. Now you've already figured out who Vindhyavali is. Now Radha and Krishna have free time, 3 hours. Nobody's going to bother them to laugh and joke and have wonderful pastimes. So after 3 hours and 10 minutes, they start down the hallway. 3 hours and 15 minutes, they're halfway down. By 3 hours and 20 minutes, they're right outside the door. By 3 hours and 25 minutes, they put their ears up to the door. And suddenly they hear the voice of Vindhyavali talking to the snake. Oh, serpent, I have called you here by the power of my mantras. Why is it you have come here and bitten this poor, defenseless, offenseless young girl? Where have you come from? Why did you do this? Said, I am coming from my master, Lord Shiva in Kailas. To bite Abhimanyu. Well, why didn't you bite Abhimanyu? I couldn't find him. So his wife is his very life. So I bit her instead. But what is her fault? What is her fault? She has no fault. But Durvas Muni has given this girl a benediction by which she cooks for Sri Krishna. And Durvas Muni is my master's partial expansion. So she has stopped her from going to cook, so my master is insulted. But isn't there any way you can save her life? Well, this Jatila, she not only stopped Radharani from going to cook for Sri Krishna, but she insists on insulting Sri Krishna, who's very dear to my master, Lord Shiva. If she will stop insulting Sri Krishna, and if she never stops Radharani from going to cook for him, then I will take this poison and return to Kailash. And Jatila says, no, I'll never stop her from going. I'll never stop her from going. I'll never say anything bad about Krishna. Actually, I know it's just Subal. He looks so much like Radharani. He dresses up and he goes near Krishna just to make, and I'm so senile, and I actually believe that it's actually my daughter-in-law. I know it's just Subal, but I'm so senile. You please forgive me. I'm old and senile. All right, I'm taking my poison and returning to my master, Lord Shiva, in Kailas. Huh? Oh, I forgot one thing. So why did you bite Abhimanyu and not Jatila? That was the question. So anyway, you'll understand the answer. He said, but if I ever hear her insulting Sri Krishna or stopping Sri Radhika from going to cook for him, then I will come here and I will bite Sri Radhika and Abhimanyu both, and this Jatila will suffer miserably for the rest of her miserable life.
That was the answer why Abhimanyu, because then Jatila will only suffer for 1 minute if she bites Jatila.
Yes, 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 no, whatever you say, I'll never say anything bad about Krishna. I will never stop her from going, you please save her. All right, I am taking my poison and returning to Kailas. Then, Vijavali opens up the door, and everybody sees Radhika sitting there. Her eyes are bright, her cheeks are pink again. She looks so happy and healthy. Why not? She just had 3 hours of free time with Krishna. And Vijavali, and Jatila is so happy. Oh, Vijavali, you've saved our daughter-in-law's life. You saved her life. Oh, Radharani, you just give this, Vijavali a big hug. And she puts her hand behind Radharani's back and her hand behind Vijavali's back and pushes them together in the most wonderful, warm embrace. And Radharani is thinking that right here, I can't even look at him. And now my mother-in-law is pushing me right into his arms. I don't know what type of star I woke up under this morning. So then Vijavali says, well, actually, it's late, so I should get going. He said, no, it's almost midnight. It's very dangerous on the road. You should stay here. And who knows, there could be a relapse. So you stay here in case there's a relapse. In fact, we'll make a bed for you up under the on the roof, under the canopy of the stars. And you and Vijavali can spend the night underneath the canopy of the stars and nobody will bother you. Please stay here for the night. So then Radha and Krishna slept on the roof of Javat underneath the canopy of the stars and nobody bothered them all night long. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.